It's the weekend, and you have financial questions that need answering. That can only mean one thing. It's time for Jill on Money, the show that takes the mystery out of your finances. Here's your host, Jill Schlesinger.
Welcome to Jill on Money. We are delighted that you are joining us. Happy weekend. Or whenever you're listening to this, because maybe you're going to our website after the weekend because you missed the show, because you were busy doing stuff. I don't know. Who knows? You can always catch up if you miss any part of the program. Maybe you're going to listen to this first hour, but you can't get the second hour because you got other stuff going on. Go to our website, jillonmoney.com. You can listen to any part of this show or to past shows. Just jillonmoney.com. Click on the radio tab. And this is the program that takes the mystery out of your financial life. And you know what's kind of cool? I've been thinking about this a lot because a lot of folks who, you know, they send us their questions. They want to know a little bit about, you know, kind of what my background is. I am still a certified financial planner, CFP. In fact, I am now the CFP board senior ambassador. I don't know. It just means that I love that mark. I love that what that all means. It's so important to me, and it has been important in my career and in my life. I used to be a full-time financial advisor, investment advisor, planner, and then I went into this business called media. Would you say that? Let's say media business, I guess. I don't know. It sounds like not that. I don't know. I guess media is fine enough. I still love to answer questions. I still love to talk to people. And this program is a way I can do it. And one of the best parts of the program is hearing from you directly. And that means that you give us a call at 855-411-JILL. It means that you send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. You can follow us on Twitter. You can do so many different things. It's great. And it really, I mean, in my mind, this show is about taking the mystery out of your financial life, but it's also about general questions, and they can be anywhere ranging from taxes to retirement to college planning. It can also include some career stuff. A lot of questions that we've been fielding recently have been, I think, indicative that the job market is really starting to improve. And so what's cool about that is it makes people are saying like, well, should I take this job or this job? Wow, that's a big difference from 5 years ago. So any question that's on your mind, we'd love to hear from you. Okay, right now we've got Victoria who's on the line. I believe Victoria is from Maryland. Hi, Victoria. Welcome to Jill on Money. What can I do for you?
Hi, Jill. I emailed you. I have an investor who, well, in first place, I'm 79 years old.
Okay.
And I have an investor that says, why don't you purchase life insurance for your heirs? And then you wouldn't have to, they wouldn't have to pay taxes. Then they suggest annuities.
Mm.
I'm thinking, why do I want a life insurance? This would be rather expensive. Wouldn't it be better to invest it maybe in a low-cost index fund? I mean, we have stock. We have mutual funds. We have retirement. So give me your plan on as far as
what you should do. Okay.
Yeah.
First of all, are you married?
Yes. Yes.
And do you and your spouse have a big estate tax problem that is brewing, meaning that do you have more than $10.5 million in an estate?
No, we have a little over $1.5 million.
Okay. And do you have a estate plan that you've created? You have wills, you guys have,
yes.
You got that all done, right?
Got that done. Right.
Beautiful.
Then the other thing is with the stock, someone suggested put it in your, I will have a daughter and son in their 50s. Put half of it in their name so that if you needed to go to, you know.
Yeah, you're not getting money from a nurse. You know what the problem is with that? Yeah, I know that they want you to throw it all into the kid's name so that you can qualify for Medicaid. But you're not going to put all that money into their names right now because it's terrible for them in terms of tax-wise. Because
right.
Whatever you put in their name, they get your cost basis.
Mm-hmm.
That's no good.
Okay.
Your instinct, which is why would I purchase life insurance, is a very good one. I would avoid it. And whoever is telling you to purchase an annuity is insane. I mean, there is no reason why someone who's got $1.5 million, you also have a pension, is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, my husband has a pension. I have a small pension. We have Social Security. Actually, we don't spend much. We don't have to spend much because we get enough in the month, you know.
Victoria, I'll tell you what. I'm going to bring you on as an expert on the show because your instinct is spot on. Whoever suggested that you purchase life insurance or an annuity, you can just sort of sweep away and in your mind chuckle a little bit and say, what a knucklehead, because those are two very bad pieces of advice for you. You have a pension, you have a Social Security, you barely are touching the $1.5 million that you have. Why you would tie that up in life insurance that you don't need is ridiculous. And for someone to say that you purchase life insurance so that they don't have to pay taxes, well, they're not going to have to pay taxes on a lot of the money they inherit from you. They'll get a stepped up cost basis. If you have money that's in a retirement account, boo hoo, they have to withdraw it and take some money out. That's ridiculous. And the whole goal of your life isn't to make your kids' lives tax efficient. It is to make sure that you yourself are investing, again, as you said, low cost index funds. Keep those commissions and those fees down, stick to your game plan, and really swat away these dopes who are asking you to consider something that's clearly not in your best interest. Victoria?
Right, I know. He said you buy an annuity and you get interest from that, and then you pay for your life insurance. I said,
forget about it.
Yeah, well, these are high-powered investment people.
Oh, well, you know what? They may be high-powered. I'll tell you what they are. They're high-pressure salespeople. That's what they are. And they should be avoided at all costs. And so for everyone else listening here, especially when you have someone who's like, oh, yeah, you're in your 70s, you're in your 80s, or they're even saying, like, take money that is basically money that you don't need and throw it into some investment that you don't need, that's insane. It's insane. Take a page out of Victoria's book and know that if you stick to a game plan that is efficient for you, where you're not buying products you don't need, that is what will serve you well in your investing life. If someone sounds like they are really selling hard, I think that that's a bit of a red flag. Maybe it's a yellow flag. I won't even make it full-blown red. If you are listening to this and someone has also asked you to consider these ideas, hey, look, maybe it's in your best interest. Maybe it's not. But I'll tell you what I think you should do is give us a call and we'll give you a second opinion. 855-411-JILL. That's our phone number. And our email address is askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back.
Annuities, IRAs, 401ks, she covers it all. Back to Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger.
You're back with Jill on Money. This is the program that takes the mystery out of your financial life. I'm Jill Schlesinger. I don't know what I should like lead with in terms of like my title. I'm the host. I'm the CBS News business analyst. I'm the CFP board senior ambassador. I'm all around nice gal. Power forward, former power forward, and center forward in soccer. Do you play offense or defense in hockey, Mark? Right wing. You know, I started my soccer career as a right winger, and then I grew like 4 inches in one summer, and that was all over. The speed just left the room. All right, Mark's not playing hockey after this season because he's getting too old. If you've got a financial question, we want to hear from you. 855-411-JILL. Send us an email. AskJill@JillOnMoney.com. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we have, I think, maybe a first, which is we have another Jill who's calling. Have we ever had another Jill, Mark? I don't think so either. Hi, Jill from New Jersey. I'm Jill from New York. How are you?
Hi, Jill from New York. Actually, I'm Jillian, but I'm known as Jill.
I'm not a Jillian. That's interesting. Do your parents call you Jillian, or did they, like, when they were mad at you?
Only when they were mad at me.
Okay. Tell me what's going on. How can I help you?
Okay. I am going to be 70 this year, so I will start taking my minimum distributions next year in April.
Okay.
I have two insurance plans from when I was a teacher in California. At that time, you didn't give in to Social Security. Instead, you contributed to a what they called a tax-sheltered annuity.
Yep.
So what they did was they actually, I have two plans. At some point somewhere, they split it. One is called a TSA two-tiered single premium, and the other one's called a retirement annuity.
Okay.
Okay, so combined, there's probably close to $160,000 in there.
All right.
I haven't been contributing for 30 years since I left California. So it's just been sitting there accumulating value. Now I'm going to need to take some of this out.
Mm-hmm.
So I called the company and I said, so what is this plan? Because I have right now a 401, a 403B because I work in a nonprofit school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understand that completely, but this I didn't really understand. And what they told me was that there are two values, actually, on the plan. One says the cash value and one says the accumulation value. And I asked them what the difference was. And, of course, the accumulation value is a lot higher than the cash value.
Mm-hmm.
And what they told me was that before I turn 70 and a half, in order to get the accumulation value, I have to start my withdrawals.
Yeah, so you have to. So are they saying you have to just withdraw, or you have to actually annuitize it? Like
they told me, I had to annuitize.
Okay, got it.
Okay, so I have to basically take out a contract that over a certain number of years I will be taking out a certain amount, whether it's annually or monthly.
Okay.
Okay, but what I really didn't understand was, it seemed to me that everything I read about annuities is the cash value, which is lower, is when you take it out before it actually matures.
Mm-hmm.
But am I starting in other words, I guess what I'm asking is, are they asking me to start the process but not start the deductions until after it matures, which is, of course, on my 70th and a half birthday?
So I'm not 100% sure. I'm just wondering, the name of the annuity, is it this? Uh-huh. Is this a Great Western two-tier annuity?
No.
Okay.
It started out, it's actually changed hands several times throughout the years. It's been, I guess, sold to different companies. Right now it's being held with Washington National Insurance Company.
Okay.
And like I said, one of the statements that I get each year says retirement annuity. The other one says TSA two-tiered single premium.
Because the two-tier one, the way I used to know, it may even be the same, like a successor company. But anyway, there was a company that used to sell this product mostly in school systems.
Uh-huh.
And what I understood them to be, they're not even available anymore, but they are these two-tier annuities that essentially the reason why that accumulation value is higher is that the insurance company wants to keep the asset in-house. And it keeps the asset in-house longer when you annuitize it, right? If you just pulled the whole thing out, if you just said, I want to roll this whole thing over, they're like, okay, well, you want to roll the whole thing over, that's your 60-something thousand. You want to keep it here and annuitize it here, that's your 80-something thousand. And that's what I think has happened. Now,
okay.
Now, that does not account for the fact that there are two separate annuities, because one so that's the two-tier. If the other annuity should maybe just be the straight up one, you may be able to just roll that over as is. So the what's the other annuity called? Just a retirement annuity, right?
It's called a retirement annuity, and it also has both a cash value and an accumulation value.
Is it the same thing with a differential that's pretty wide?
Yeah, yeah. And as a matter of fact, they're both about the same value. One's $84,000, one's $80,000. Hmm. And they both, the cash value is in the 60s.
So you know what I would love to do for you? Before we start making decisions about this, I think we need someone to take a look at these contracts on your behalf, and I think it will behoove you to talk to somebody and even pay someone by the hour to do this, just like literally like an hour or two, to just say, can I send you this document, or can I talk to you about these documents, and have someone maybe even be on the phone with you with the insurance company to be able to have that conversation. The reason is that, you know, look, annuities are tricky, and they're contracts. And once you pull the trigger and say, boom, annuitize, we can't take it back.
Okay.
Okay. So before we start making decisions to do that, I think we need a little bit more information. And so, you know, like you said, you've got the 403B. That's fine. You do your required minimum distribution. Mm-hmm. Fine. But these, you will also have to pay special attention to them. And maybe it's just as simple as fine. You know what? We just light it up and it gives you, sends you a check every month, and we're smart about it. But I am not looking at that contract, and I don't feel comfortable telling you what to do around it unless I see the details of it.
Okay, and that was actually the second part of my question was, what I would really rather do is to take both of these and roll them over into my 403B, you know, and add it to what I would have to take as my required minimum distribution.
Yeah, but I don't want you to take a $20,000 haircut if you don't have to.
No, I don't want to.
And so it may be a pain in the neck to maintain three different accounts, but it also may be much smarter to do it.
Okay.
And so I'm not going to make you a promise one way or the other, but I am 100% sure that we need more information. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to hang on. Mm-hmm. Mark's going to grab your email address, and then I am going to send you the name of somebody to talk to.
Perfect.
Somebody I know who actually does a lot of work with teachers and professors and looks at these contracts all the time. Okay.
Excellent. I was kind of hoping you would do that.
Of course. All right. Jill, not Jillian. Jill, where are you from in New Jersey, by the way?
Randolph, near Morristown.
Oh, very nice.
North Central.
Very excellent. Well, I'm Jill from Westchester, New York, and so we're practically related. All right. Hang on. Mark's going to pick up the phone, and we're going to get your information. And thank you very much for calling.
No, thank you very much for the information.
Sure.
I appreciate it. Okay.
So listen, gang, when you have an annuity contract, please give us a holler first so that you can actually make an informed decision. You know, these are very complicated situations, and we don't want to make a mistake. And I don't want to cost you money. You know, in Jill's case, it's 20 grand, that's a lot of money. It's a big difference. So let's kind of figure out what has to happen and get you the information, and then we make a more informed decision. Isn't that smart? You're listening to Jill on Money, 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back.
From rookie investors to savvy veterans, Jill Schlesinger is here to help you. Call now, 855-411-JILL, or email askjill@jillonmoney.com.
You're back with Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, we'd love to hear from you. Our phone number is 855-411-JILL. Our email address is askjill@jillonmoney.com. And, hey, you know, got a couple of questions recently about the Certified Financial Planner designation. If you want to know more about that, you can go to our website, jillonmoney.com, right? And all you have to do is at the very tippy top of the website, there are a bunch of tabs across the top. And one of them is a direct link to the CFP board. You just click on it, letsmakeaplan.org, and that will help you find a CFP professional. Kind of cool, right? And, you know, Mark's taking the CFP coursework now. And he almost has like a slightly elevated respect for me now that he's going through the coursework. Because he's like, well, this is actually harder than I thought it was going to be. I know it's true. Anyway, I am the CFP board senior ambassador. I am an ambassador for that mark, that designation, and I love it because, you know, it really did help me a ton in my career. So if you want to learn more about the CFP board, hop on over to letsmakeaplan.org or go to my website, jillonmoney.com. I should say our website because Mark's kind of managing it and doing everything that's important around it. See if I'm going to get some new pictures up there, huh? I'm going to put some pictures up. Yeah. So you know how they're old? I can see my hair. Some of them are short, right? All right. Let's do a question here. Hey, by the way, this is from Jay, who found us because of our podcast, because of our Better Off podcast. You can check out Better Off. You can get it on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, anywhere else you find your favorite podcast. So Jay writes, I've got $300,000 in a taxable account. I am 55 and I put $15,000 into a 401k each year. Should I max out my 401k contribution, supplementing my income from the taxable account, and also start a Roth from the same account? I'm hoping not to need the money from the brokerage account to live on, so I'm thinking it will just go back later. Is that a lot of work for a minimal return? What do you think? Okay, first of all, I love that idea. You're 55. You can put $18,000 into a 401k. But not only that, you're over 50. You can put an extra $6,000 into the 401k. So you didn't say how much you make, but I'm presuming, you know, based on your income, you can make a Roth contribution. So that's number one. But you can put $24,000 into your 401k. And then in addition, you can put $6,500 into a Roth IRA. So I like the idea of reducing your tax liability today. And like you said, you've got this money that's in an account. It's sitting there. It's available. So I don't think that this is a lot of work and it's not a minimal return. I love the idea also that you have money that is growing, that's already been taxed in a Roth. And I like the idea of reducing your tax liability today. So I say go for it, Jay. That seems like a very good idea and it is not minimal. I don't know where the $300,000 is actually invested. But make sure whatever you're going to need that should stay in cash stays in cash, that it's not at risk. Okay? Okay, Matt is 45 years old. He's looking ahead to retirement and was playing with a required minimum distribution estimator. They have this, like Vanguard has one. I'm sure many of the big companies have one. And what it does is you plunk in how much money you have in retirement savings. You put in your age and it says, hey, by the time you get to be 70 and a half, this is what you'll have to take out. That's your required minimum distribution. So he's like a little bit nutty after going through the process, I have to say. Because he wrote in all caps, it's crazy how much my RMDs will be when combined with my wife's 403b account. Matt writes, I want to live off the interest of our plans in retirement, but required minimum distributions are going to severely cut into our principal and reduce the amount of interest we can earn on that principal. Is it better to take a tax hit now with 20 years until retirement and convert everything to a Roth so that our RMDs don't eat away at our money when we need it most? The answer is, if you have money outside of those retirement accounts and you can pay for the tax that's due right now and you can convert it, I would absolutely think about that. However, I also want to put a caveat in. You may want to wait to see what kind of tax reform comes down from on high. And we're probably going to get some tax reform. And it may be that perhaps this year may not be the best year for you to convert those accounts. Maybe if your tax bracket's going down next year's a better year to convert. But, you know, what's funny is a lot of people will say to me, well, I don't, it's 20 years until retirement. That doesn't actually seem like that much. Maybe it's not worth it to convert. I don't agree with that because it may be 20 years until retirement, but then you're going to have another 20, 30 years plus in retirement. And every time you've got a dollar that's in a deferred account, like a 401k or a traditional IRA, and you have to pull money out of that for your required minimum distribution, it can impact other parts of your financial life. So I think knowing what your tax is going to be already and have a tax-free account can be really valuable. So if you have money outside of the retirement account, great. If you can use instead of a if you don't have it and you want to just leave it alone, that's fine. Maybe what you do is going forward, you use a Roth 401k or a Roth 403b if that's available to her. And maybe if you don't have that money, then fine, you've got that tax deferred money set aside, but all of your new money going in for retirement, that is Roth money. Remember, gang, a Roth IRA, it is based on being below a certain income level, but with a 401k, there's no income limit. That's why it's really powerful. You are listening to Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back.
K, IRAs, refinancing. She covers it all. Back to Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger. I can feel
the dawn. You're back with Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, we'd love to hear from you. Our phone number here is 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. All right, now... you know, I got this other gig. I love my radio show. I love terrestrial radio. Completely has made my career. I owe you everything. But if you want more Jill, just like you need more cowbell, and you need more Mark, just like you need more cowbell, then you have to go and check out our podcast. It's called Better Off. Better Off. You can get it on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, anywhere else you find your favorite podcasts. And by the way, if you're the kind of person you're thinking, I don't know from podcasts, I get that. I mean, you don't have to know about it. It's really easy. And there's just so much great spoken word, interesting stuff going on in the podcast world. What better way to dip your toe in the water than with a friend like Jill on Money, right? So you can check out the Better Off podcast. We would absolutely love it if you could subscribe. Again, you can just do that right on iTunes. Check it out. Okay. Now, let's get to a question. Robert's 31 years old. His wife is 27. And he says, we have been listening to your show for years. And thanks to you, our finances are in great shape. Not thanks to me. Thanks to you guys. Come on. I just talk about it. You guys do it. We have little debt outside of the mortgage. We make a combined $120,000 a year. We met with our life insurance agent the other day and was pushed towards a whole life policy. We are unsure if that would be in our best interest to switch to that type of policy or stick with a term life insurance policy. We currently pay about $250 a year per person for $250,000 in coverage. With the whole life policy, it would be $2,800 a year per person. Do you think we should stick with a term life or switch to a whole life policy? And what deciding criteria would be the best when selecting either one? Thanks for your thoughts and the great advice. Okay, Robert, here's the deal. You're young, number one. You didn't mention that you have kids, so I'm presuming that what this life insurance that you are currently carrying is simply to help your spouse if something happened to you, which is really the underlying theme of life insurance. Basically, you get life insurance if your death would result in a financial hardship for someone else. So if you say both, let's say you both make $60,000 a year and you wanted to just sort of help your spouse out, or, you know, pay down the mortgage or just give a little boost, then that's why you buy your life insurance. And in that case, having term life insurance is perfect. It really is, because chances are, as you accumulate more money over time, you won't need term life insurance. You know, 20, 25 years from now, you'll have accumulated a whole bunch of money in your retirement savings. And if you were to pass away at that point, you'd leave that to your spouse. Same thing with kids. Let's say you did have a couple of kids. Chances are that as the kids get older, the impact on their lives of your demise, your financial lives, starts to lessen over time because, A, they need less, but also that you've saved more, which kind of takes the place of the life insurance that you would keep carrying. So why would you buy a whole life policy? Very few people need life insurance for their entire lives. Use it maybe if you had a special needs kid and you needed to have that policy in place for after your death, that child would need financial assistance. You might need that for your estate planning purposes, that you wanted some liquidity in the estate or some help paying some estate taxes. But again, if you have, that's, you know, if you're single and you got more than about $5.5 million in an estate, you'll have an estate tax. Maybe it's less per state. But generally speaking, why whole life insurance is actually purchased has nothing to do with those things. It is because it's being sold. And that's the problem. Whole life insurance is expensive because it has this lifetime guarantee. A guarantee that's valuable, again, under certain circumstances, but really, in very few instances, do you need life insurance for your entire life. And that's why I'm going to tell you, Robert, that in my opinion, you probably don't need to buy whole life insurance. Chances are that that extra $2,300 a year that you would be spending could be used towards putting money into retirement accounts. That's a far more efficient way to build up your asset base than buy this whole life policy. And if I'm missing something, if there's something else about your particular circumstance that would indicate that you needed to have life insurance across your entire life, let me know. But I'm guessing that this is something you don't need, and you can stick to the low-cost term. You can pay as much as you possibly can out of your cash flow into your retirement accounts. You can even invest outside of your retirement accounts. You know, there's so many options that are cheaper and probably more efficient for people in your situation. So thank you for the question. Tell the salesperson no thank you and move on. You're listening to Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, 855-411-JILL, send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back. You're back with Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, we'd love to hear from you. Our number here is 855-411-JILL. You can also send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. Hey, follow us on Twitter, @JillOnMoney. Don't forget about that. You know, we're talking a lot about tax reform and, you know, different things that have come out in the news cycle around that. And I did get a question about the alternative minimum tax right after tax season closed out. So I just wanted to put this out there. You know, one of the cool things about tax time is it actually helps you plan for next year as well. And, you know, the AMT, the alternative minimum tax, is essentially a second part of the tax system that is used for people who take lots and lots of deductions to make sure they pay some more in taxes. So what do you need to know about the AMT? For 2017, the exemption amount is $84,500 married filing jointly, $54,300 for singles. And what does it mean? It means that if you take deductions that exceed that, you're going to fall into the alternative minimum tax. So you really have to think about whether or not you can try to work with someone to either take yourself out of the alternative minimum tax, or maybe even better, is reduce your tax bill by making sure that you are actually maximizing other parts of the tax code. Because sometimes it's really hard to avoid the alternative minimum tax. It really is. The problem that many people find is that, you know, look, I have all these deductions. What's the deal? You know, so the problem that you're going to find is that some of these expenses are not worth trying to take, or maybe you've got a way to do it through your employer. Just a few things out there. I'm going to think, I'm going to write about that, how to escape the AMT. That's a good idea. All right, that's it. That's the first hour. If you missed any part of it, you can always catch up with us later in the day. Just go to JillOnMoney.com, hit the radio tab. But for now, stay tuned. We've got a whole nother hour ahead. Jill on Money, 855-411-JILL. Ask Jill at JillOnMoney.com. We'll be right back.